never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without. A man without a face. 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 A man without a face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Yes, that's me, and my voice is not 100% after screaming at Miss Elke, for chasing one of the neighbor's cows. And I mean Miss Elke. You know, let me tell you something. If the cops are ever chasing you with a dog, you have about zero chance of getting away, especially a German Shepherd dog. I cannot believe how fast this dog can hightail it, you know, across the span of distance. It's incredible. It really is remarkable. And believe me, the cow knew she was coming and it bolted. And I believe it jumped over a fence. I don't know if that's possible or not, but it was in my part of the yard because it left a cow patty. You know, people talk about how when cows go to the bathroom, it looks like a pie. They call it a cow pie. Well, now I know why. Because it's actually about the size of a pie. And it smells like Jews. Only slightly better. So, I had to scream at Miss Elke to get her to, and she almost just kept going. She usually obeys rather quickly, but no harm done. I got her to abandon mission, and it's amazing. That's all I can tell you. I just cannot believe how far this dog can go in such a little time. I would like to ask you to keep praying for John's daughter, Nikki, who's about to have a baby boy. And she's 2 hours from the nurse. Please keep praying. I don't know why she hasn't had it yet, because the child was due at any moment, you know, at any time. So please keep praying for that. And for Michael. I haven't heard anything from Linda still. I'm going to try to email her. And I would think that Michael's getting better. So please keep praying for him. That was a terrible thing he went through. Anytime you go to the nation's third largest killer for help, I pity anybody that has to relegate themselves to such things. It's not that every medical worker is part of the evil. It's just that, like anything, they make them be part of the evil, a lot, you know, all of them, by giving them a license. I saw one thing about some barber who opened his barber shop, and they shut him down because he had a license. Let me ask you a question. Why would you need a license to cut people's hair? See, you know, you might say, well, you could do a lot of damage. This is ridiculous. Imagine that society makes a barber have a license. Can you even begin to fathom these things, these communist things that are going on? I saw T-Rump saying that he wanted to relax some of the regulations that the government has on small businesses. Well, that's the very thing that got me out of my business was the regulations. The Jew that got in the company that turned it into a federal government obedience school. And none of it, almost all of what they wanted was not necessary and was not regulated by the government. He just got the people of the company, probably got them a little scared and they obeyed. And when they obeyed, it cost us thousands and thousands of dollars, you see, just to be in business. And it enriched the Jews as well. This communist stuff, the regulations always give the Jews more money. It's amazing how this all works. I do not know why we allow these things. I do not know why we put up with this. The people are bigger than the Jews. The people are bigger than the federal government. So that's all I can tell you about that. So he said he was going to relax some of the regulations. Why didn't he think of relaxing those regulations even before any of this happened? They're doing everything they can to destroy us in every way. The federal government is doing everything it can to destroy the country, the people, everything you can think of in every single way, destroying the food, destroying the water, destroying our lives, destroying us with taxes, destroying us with bringing in illegal aliens to come in and rape, kill, steal, and destroy like the rest of the Jews. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. I just can't think of, I know you're going to say, oh, but they gave me a $1,200. Well, they didn't give me one. But they might have given you a $1,200 check. But don't think that you're off the hook for that $1,200 check. That wasn't for free, even though you think it was. You say, oh, the government cared about me. They gave me $1,200 and they gave the banks billions and trillions. So the government, as far as I'm not talking about state government, they're bad enough as they are. But at least there's a little tiny bit of hope in those. But the federal government it's absolutely useless. Like all of its ABC entities, it does no good whatsoever. It does zero good. See, the federal government is just like the Jew. It's useless. It can do no good. It's corrupt. It's in chaos. It wants to enslave. It's a parasite on the people. The government is just one big Jew. Let's just put it that way. It's the conglomeration of all Jews. It's there like a tick on our society, just sucking blood and sucking blood in a parasitical stance. And if the government was good, I wouldn't have any problem with it, but it's not good. And it's not going to get any better either. Not for you and I. It'll get much better for the Jews, and much as it has since T-Rump has been in, right? But it will get worse for us. I'm, sorry to be the harbinger of bad news, but really, didn't you know that anyway? That if I were to ask you every single year, is it getting better? Is it getting better? I think you know what the answer is. And if you look back at the last 20 to 40 years, if you can, you can see that it has just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. It has never got any better. And it never will as long as the Jew is in control. Like I said, Ezra Pound says the definition of a democracy is a country controlled by Jews. That's what I've been telling you ever since I found out about what democracy is. And Saul Alinsky helped. So we're on page 35 on the Red Network by Elizabeth Dilling. And my goodness, there's been quite a few stark realities shown in this book already. Very incredible to see that there's the testimonies of, you know, if you wanted to know what's happening to our world, why is it happening? Who's doing it? All these questions are all answered in books like this. You know who it is. Put three parentheses. Marxism sublimated robbery into restitution. It enabled the impecunious to regard themselves as the disinherited, the ne'er-do-wells as the defrauded. In other words, the have-nots. See, as Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, Nordic peoples, we are the haves because our father gave us these lands and we have him. So we have because of him. They do not have him, and they have not because they worship demonic gods and all kinds of things, correct? So this is the typical thing that the devil does that I've shown you over and over, is that even though these people are have-nots, the devil wants to make sure they become haves, even though they don't deserve it. They don't work to eat. Excuse me, sorry. But they'll still eat anyway, no matter what the scriptures say. You know, these banks, they start to get their judgment from the Father in heaven because of the things that they do. And the devil steps in and says, no, I won't let you receive that judgment. We'll just steal it from the haves. And we'll bail out those banks. And then they can go out and party and have hookers. Remember? Remember this, these things? Well, this is the same thing. All these have-not nations, the devil's children, per the devil, brings them into our nations to steal, kill, and destroy from the haves. So that they can pretend they're haves too. And they want to turn it around on us and say that you're no longer a have. You're an enemy of the nation. And we're looking for human rights. Colored man rights. We're not interested in white man's rights. We're here as have-nots to take those rights away, to steal everything, to eat up all your resources, to kill you, to infest you with diseases that you've conquered ages ago. That's why they're here. They're here to intermarry and destroy your bloodlines. They're here to... All it is one big parasitical infestation. And the world is full of parasites, whether it's from the animal kingdom with rats and mice and ticks and fleas and mosquitoes and flies and all these different things. The world is an infestation of disgusting, filthy, dirty parasites. And as long as we're here, and we have, they don't want to have themselves. You see, to have themselves, they'd have to repent of worshiping false gods. They'd have to do some work to be a have like we do. But they don't have the work ethic. They don't have what we have inside our, it's not just what we have on the outside, it's what we have on the inside. They want to be white, but they want everything that goes with being white. This is amazing what I'm saying. I'm telling you, you think about what I'm saying. See, they want to pretend they're white. They want to have, as they're driving their vehicles around, flushing their toilets, as they're cooling themselves with fans, as they're relieving themselves of diseases and everything, they don't know who brought this to them. They don't know who blessed all of them with these things. It wasn't them who created these things. And they don't care if the Jews tell them that the Negroes created them or anything. They don't care. You see, very few will stand up for the white race, yet they want to be us. This isn't a supremacist talk. There are many of our people that are living like the beasts of the field because they've believed in equality, the fable of the Jews. And therefore they cohabit with beasts of the field and become and live and act like beasts of the field, like Nebuchadnezzar. And so, don't you think for a minute that these people, all these have-nots, all these hue man, colored man, don't think that they all don't want to be white. Just today on News Bites, we found out that the Jews, the whiter you are in Israel, you know, the stolen land, it's not a country. The whiter you are, the higher you are in their society. Just like in India, it's the same thing. It's a caste system. The whiter you are in India, the higher you are in civilization. So who are the white supremacists then? See, these are good questions, aren't they? See, you should be happy to know that these people wish they could be you and me. They wish they could be haves. And even when they do have, they have to know in the back of their mind, I didn't earn this. I mean, the Negroes don't have any conscience, so they don't care whether they earned it or not. The Jews told them they're owed this. But there are some decent colored men, and I don't mean Negroes really, there might be a few of those. But when we're talking about the colored people, now I'm not talking about the colored Jews, they're human too, because they've mixed with all the people of the world. So even if they've mixed with whites, they still have the hybrid human behind them, because they're not white. So they all wish they could be us. You can see that, right? You can see that the woman, the Jewish women, all color their hair blonde and try to put contacts in and try to dress like us. But they're disgusting. They're not of the caliber of white women. They'll do anything, go through any surgery to try to pretend that they're white, to try to make the world believe that they're white. But most of all, to try to make themselves believe that they're white. This is a fact. And the thing is this needs to be pointed out to them over and over and over again. I always say that to Jews because I know it's true. I say, you wish you were white, don't you? And it eats their lunch. Anybody, all the colored human people, if you said that to them, some of them will even answer and say yes. Others might want to kill, but they know it's true. You know it's true, and I know it's true. It's just that nobody takes the time to point it out to us, but I do. Let's continue in the book then. The ne'er-do-wells as the defrauded, the unsuccessful as the oppressed, the unskilled as wage slaves, the incompetent as the exploited, the unemployed as the sole creators of the wealth and value, the proletariat as the people, quote unquote, and the violent revolutionaries as vindicators of the rights of, it says man, which would later change to human. So think about these things logically. It's what I just told you. It enabled the impecunious to regard themselves as the disinherited. See, we've been disinherited from society. The white man, Homie the Clown, has been brought down by the man. And they pretend that the man is a white man, when we know that the corporate fellow is a mostly Jew man. Human. The never-do-wells as the defrauded. See, they never do well. It's not because they're not good at what they do or don't know how to do it. It's they're being defrauded of these things. You see that? These are all the excuses. The unsuccessful, people who can't have genuine success because they have no work ethic, because they have not the capacity in their brain to do it, they're oppressed. Not their unsuccessfulness is not because, you know, it's just one of these things. It's that they have been oppressed to be unsuccessful. The unskilled as wage slaves, the incompetent as the exploited. You see how all that works? You know, this whole paragraph here really says a whole lot. The unemployed as the sole creators of wealth and value. Marxian socialism is potent just because of its appeal to the primitive individualism of the subnormal man. It excites his passion for plunder. It stimulates his love of fighting. It bemuses his rudimentary conscience, making him believe that he is out for justice and not for the loot. It muddles his immature mind with the ineffable nonsense concerning complicated economic theories of value and surplus value, of the potency and efficacy of its appeal, there can be no doubt. It is only the real, really effective type of socialism in existence. It entirely supersedes its utopian predecessors, for they postulate self-sacrifice and hard work and depict an ideal community which provides its own modest sustenance by cooperative toil. A most unattractive paradise to a caveman. Only Marxian socialism offers brigandage. Brigandage is systemized, rationalized, moralized, glorified. Hence, as Thorstein Veblen says, the socialism that inspires hopes and fears today is of the school of Marx. No one is seriously apprehensive of any other so-called socialistic movement. In proportion as the movement in any given community grows in mass maturity and conscious purpose, it unavoidably takes on a more consistently Marxian complexion. Socialists of all countries take on a more consistently Marxian complexion. I just read that, yeah. Socialists of all countries gravitate towards the theoretical position of avowed Marxism. So too, Clayton. Modern socialism is Marx and Marx modern socialism. There is no other foundation, they claim. Professor Ely concludes, in socialism, Karl Marx occupies a position, all going before him in a manner of preparing the way for him and all coming after him, taking him for a starting point. Hernshaw. Now, you see that this is something that the Jew, it's an agenda of the Jew to create Marxism as the antithesis of Christianity and capitalism. Now, you see that there are people in the world that are here to keep on praising the antithesis, the agenda of the Jews, and thus praising, this is more Jew worship is what it is. You know, the world is full of Jew worship. I talked about this earlier today. They want us to worship Jews. They just like we're seeing here, continually praise the Jews and their falsehoods, their fables. And just because of who said it makes it even more viable. Not for me, not for you, but for people that don't know any better. People like the woman I told you said, maybe it's time we give communism a chance. Can you imagine? I saw another thing today that was very humorous. Some Negro, the one that beat up the person in the old man in the nursing home. He said that blacks should rule the world. And to me, that is the most ridiculous statement. That's almost as ridiculous as the Jews should rule the world. Both inept, both incapable, both unmoral, both evil. For the most part, blacks are pretty much as evil as you can be. Oh, but Dave, I know a black person that was a nice person. Really? Did you turn the lights out? So, I know you're laughing about that, but you wouldn't be laughing if you turned the lights out. Socialists of all countries gravitate towards the theoretical position of avowed Marxism. You see? So, the Lusk Report says, in fact, the only scientific, concrete, and perfectly systematic scheme of socialism is the scheme of Karl Marx. See, more praise. Praise for the Jews. See, Karl Marx didn't even think this up. It's just like Einstein. They praise Einstein because they want you to think that a Jew is one of the smartest people that ever lived. But Einstein's not smart. He's a fraud. Just like Karl Marx is a fraud. Karl Marx couldn't even make a living. These are all frauds, Jewish frauds. Just like Freud was a fraud. He just spelt his name a little wrong, that's all. That's you laughing again. Okay, so this is the basis for materialism, what Karl Marx has brought, right? And what have we had in America with Christmas? It's taught us materialism from the cradle. This is the basis for materialism inherent in present-day socialism, for its antagonism to religion, to ethics, to all idealism based on principles that do not relate to purely material life and wealth interests. Now, isn't this interesting, what I'm about to read you right now? This is how the Father works, ladies and gentlemen, and he blows my mind. You see, we were just talking about the Methodists on the Last Saxon's Creed and other people like them. Now listen to this. You know the Methodists, right? Methodists turn socialistic. If the great voice of John Wesley, with its call to Christianize individual souls, should finally be stilled by the voice of Karl Marx, with its call to class war, disguised as a call to preach the social gospel of economic justice, quote unquote, not only Methodism, but the whole world will suffer. Ominously, the socialist Christian social action movement. Of course, we read some more about this here. Remember Christian socialists? It's like a Judeo-Christian. You can't have both of them. They're oxymorons, and so are communists. Mostly morons. So, ominously, the socialist Christian social action movement of Chicago Methodist Church headquarters says of its opportunities for teaching socialism / communism, quote, our most fruitful field of accomplishment, we believe to be within and through the agency of the church of which we are a part. It is difficult to overemphasize the significance of the social and economic movement in America if the Methodist Church should be one to wholehearted advocacy and support of the social gospel. To this endeavor, we pledge ourselves. Isn't it interesting? Let me point this out, that socialism, isn't that kind of like the same thing as the social networks. You know what I mean? Oh, you're a social worker. You see? Methodist turn socialistic, quote unquote, is the title of an article written by socialist Charles C. Weber, jailed in a radical strike in 1930 and defended by the ACLU communist organization, which appears in the socialist Garland Fund aided World of Tomorrow, a World Tomorrow of July 1933. In it, he felicitates. I wonder if that should have been facilitates. No, whatever. It's felicitates. The annual conference of the ME Church, held at the Central Church, Brooklyn, New York, for its report on the necessity of social change from capitalism to a socialistic economic system, and says that the motion to change the words social ownership, quote unquote, complete socialism, in the final report to social control, quote unquote, just barely passed. Hello. Are we having social control today? Stay in your house. Don't say anything that we don't want you to say, or we'll kick you off the social platform. Social control. Toe the line. See, this virus is a lesson on who will toe the line and who won't. Who will wear the mask? Who is a believer in the lie that the government and the Jews are our friends? Who's a believer? You'll see them as they wear their masks. Now, if you're forced to wear a mask to go shopping, that's one thing. But I see the willing. I'm speaking of the willing. They're so controlled by their fear that they'll obey anything. So, he says, this debate clearly showed that the majority of the members of the New York East Conference on the Methodist Church are convinced that capitalism must be brought under some form of social control. The Northeast Ohio Conference of the ME Church exhibited similar tendencies when, quote, socialized ownership and control of the country's financial and industrial system as a substitute for capitalism were recommended, unquote. Associated Press report, September 20th, 1932. Other conferences have likewise adopted communistic socialistic resolutions. The Methodist Federation for Social Service is headed by Bishop Francis J. McConnell, socialist. Yeah, McConnell, socialist. ACLU, etc. And its bulletin is edited by Harry Ward, of radical fame, and Winifred Chapel, frankly, of the Communist Party Campaign Committee. As an ex-communist said to me, most of these bulletins sound like the Daily Worker, only more so. The April 15th, 1932 bulletin, which I have, not only frankly admitted Federation cooperation with communist organizations, but under the heading, Is It a Coincidence, said, now this is her, she's got this, not me. Here's the quote. The nature of the membership of the Federation and the penetration of the church by this movement is indicated in part by the fact that entirely without design, one-third of Delaware Conference membership belonged to the Federation. This overlapping included every member of the Commission on Modern Business and Industry, 10 of the 14 commission chairmen, and 2 secretaries of the Board of Foreign Missions, who were largely responsible for the conference, and the presiding officer, the president of the Federation. So what do we know about the word Federation, and what have I told you about it before? In Star Trek, what is it called? The Federation. The Federation of Planets. The FOPs. That's an English word for being queer. Foppish. So, of the call to action, quote unquote, which had just then resulted in the formation in Chicago of the Socialist Methodist Christian Social Action Movement, CSAM. That's, it has scam right in that. It is also proudly observed that most of the sponsors were the members of the Federation, right? So, concerning the Federation's financial support, it said that Rock River Conference had originated and systematically used the plan of donating 1/2 of 1% of the preacher's salary, including house rent, to the Federation for its socialist and communist cooperating activities, and that Philadelphia uses it in modified form. The editorial of Dr. E.P. Clark, that's another Jew name, editor of the Riverside Daily Press and himself a prominent Methodist layman, is reprinted in the National Republic of October 1933. To quote from it, here's the quote, "The Methodist Conference of Long Beach adopted resolutions urging the pardon of Mooney." It seems rather pertinent to ask what these ministers know about the Mooney case. The evidence has been reviewed by 4 governors, Stevens, Richardson, Young, and Rolfe. A lot of those names, Richardson and Young, definitely sound Jewish to me. How about you? Who knows about the other two? And they all refuse to pardon Mooney. The courts have also acted unfavorably on his case in several hearings. The average citizen may well give some heed to the findings of these various investigations. And it looks as if the Methodist Conference went far afield in seeking some subject on which to adopt resolutions. For centuries, listen to this now. This is a quote. "For centuries of human progress," see, that's not man progress, that's not white man's progress, "for centuries of human progress and recession, it has been a controversial question as to the supremacy of church or state, but the Methodists apparently have no fear of stepping over the line, like the federal government. The action on the Mooney question might seem to line up with the Methodists with the unsavory and violent element of Russia and America. Other resolutions were of similar dubious propriety. To issue its demands upon the mayor of Los Angeles to abolish the Red Squad of police." Are you listening? "To issue its demands upon the mayor of Los Angeles to abolish the Red Squad of police, foe of communistic rioters, and to investigate the Better American Federation and other organizations outside the church affiliation is hard to reconcile with the teachings of the gentle carpenter from Nazareth, which the church is supposed to further." It, get it? It's supposed to, but it doesn't. It's furthering communism instead. "The Methodist Church is probably the most powerful of all religious denominations. It has done a marvelous good, but when their conference presumes to rule on things religious, moral, and political without regard to courtesy of courts of justice, we fear the church's popularity is endangered, especially with the youth of the land." The Communist Daily Worker of May 13th, 1933, under the heading, listen to this, "Negro Bishops Back ILD Fight," says, Negro bishops. So what it says here is about these Negro bishops. "The General Board of the Colored Methodist Episcopal Church," the colored, humans, human, "in session in Jackson, Tennessee, with 8 bishops and nine general officers, with more than 250 pastors and lay representatives throughout the U.S., went on record." Remember, this is the Negroes now. The resolution reads in part, "The bench of bishops and the general board of the colored Methodist Church in annual session desire to issue the following statement to the nation with reference to the Scottsboro and Peterson cases in Alabama and the Angelo Herndon case in Georgia. We feel it our duty to call upon our entire congregations throughout the nation to contribute funds and moral support to aid in such able defense as shown by the International Labor Defense Organization, and that such donations be given concertedly and funds sent to the designated committee and in turn to the headquarters of the International Labor Defense. I'm sure that was written by a Negro. Are you laughing again? My goodness, I must be funny. Sure, a Negro wrote that. Yes. Godless Moscow's communist organization using this means to hook Christian Negroes, if there was such a thing. It's so ridiculous. This world is full of hybrids and unholy unions. Let's just put it that way. So they've hooked these Christian Negroes into the revolutionary movement. The bishops of the bench are Elias Cottrell, Holly Springs, Mississippi, C.H. Phillips, Cleveland, Ohio, R.C. Carter, Chicago, R.T. Brown, Birmingham, Alabama, J.C. Martin, Memphis, J.A. Hamlet. Geez, these are very African names, aren't they? I wonder where they get these names. The colored people, human, are a sincerely religious race. As long as they stayed in Africa unchristianized, they remained and did pagan, as did pagan white men, savages. You see? Did we remain savages, white men? No, we didn't. We progressed. But the Negroes, even if they're brought forward 3 steps, when they're left to their own devices, they step right back to where they originated. Their pagan brothers, brothers, in Africa today are savages. While in a comparatively few years, under the opportunities of the American government and the inspiration of Christianity, the American Negroes have acquired professions, property, banks, homes. Let me stop right there. How was that done? Can you say the racial program for the 20th century by Israel Cohen? How many times have I stated that? You know what I'm talking about. The American Negroes have acquired professions, property, banks, homes, banks, and produced a rising class of refined, home-loving people. This is far more remarkable. I can certainly see they not only love home-loving people, they're not only home-loving people, but they love the homeless. They love to beat them in the head with concrete, bricks and things. They love the homeless as well as the home people. You can see that they're very civilized people, can't you? This is far more remarkable than that many Negroes are still backward. The Reds play upon Negroes' love of their own people and represent them as a persecuted people in order to inflame them against the very white people who have in reality given the colored race far greater opportunities than their fellow Negroes would give them in Africa today. That's for sure. And that stands for today too. Only recently the U.S. government was protesting slave holding by colored officials in Liberia. The Reds look upon the Negroes as their greatest hope. They want them to do their dirty work in stirring up bloody revolution and to bear its brunt. Then whether the Reds win or lose, the Negroes will be the losers for Sovietization, its slavery. The U.S. Fish report states, the task of the communists among the Negro workers is to bring about class consciousness and to crystallize this in independent class political action against the capitalist class, to take every possible advantage of occurrences and conditions which will tend to develop race feeling with the view of utilizing racial antagonism. At every opportunity, the attempt is made to stir up trouble between the white and Negro races. The Negroes are made to believe that the communists practice complete racial and social equality. Sure they do. Sure they do. And that only when a communist government is set up in the United States will the Negroes obtain equality and freedom from exploitation by the white bosses. See, there it is. Homie and the man. See? And in order to attract and impress the Negro, the communists make a point of encouraging mixed social functions where the white women communists dance with the Negro men and white men. Communists dance with Negro women. It is openly advocated that there must be complete social and racial equality between the whites and Negroes, even to the extent of intermarriage. Boy, that's a mouthful. I wonder if that came true. Put yourself in the Negro's place. Would you not be flattered by Dr. Tittle's act in putting over a Negro social equality plank in the 1932 General ME Conference in Atlantic City, following similar action by the Federal Council of Churches, even though you knew in your heart that social equality is guided entirely by human desires? Get it? Even though you knew in your heart that social equality is guided entirely by human desires and feelings, and that no law or plank can alter this. Neither a white nor a colored person will invite another person to supper in his home unless he wishes to. So remember, he came to dinner, Sidney Poitier. This was a big thing, that a Negro came to dinner as, you know, the dating a white woman. And of course, the parents, you know, all this is always a brainwash. It's always the same stuff. It's put forth by the Jews because of the racial program of the 20th century, which continues into the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen. So it says sociability is won, not forced. Force on this point only engenders real antagonism, even bloodshed. To quote the Chicago Tribune report of May 8, 1932, concerning this conference headed Racial Question Jars Methodist Church Session, Dr. Tittle's resolution stated that future general conferences will be held only in cities where there is no segregation of racial groups, no discrimination in hotels, hotel lobbies, hotel dining rooms, restaurants, or elevators. You see, the racial program for the 21st century was designed to elevate the Negro to be equal with white man so that they could bring these Negroes over to their, the Jews, cause. Understand? In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is said right here, what I'm going to do a show about. This social equality is human rights. This is all that the world cares about now, is human rights. And the poor fools that are helping this agenda, that are of our race, don't understand that it's totally against them and totally for anybody but them. It's amazing. People don't understand what human rights really means. I'm telling you what it means. And I've never heard anybody say that, really. So not that nobody has ever said it, but I've never heard it. Most people think that there's one race, the human race. You see? You see what a lie that is, right? Because you know there's more than one race. Who doesn't know that? In his argument for the passage of the resolution, Dr. Tittle stated that the wording of his resolution followed closely a resolution recently adopted by the Federal Council of Churches. Federal. Federation. Federal. Feral. Dr. Tittle said that it would focus on the attention of church and nation on the cause of racial equality. Dr. Tittle said that. Doctor, an expert. We've been trained to listen to experts, haven't we? Dr. Tittle must be an expert because he's a doctor. See? But Bill Gates is not a doctor, and they say he's an expert somehow. I don't know where they get that from, but neither here nor there. They say that this little girl is an expert on the environment and on coronavirus. This Greta Thunberg, she's an expert. Why? Because they say she is. Is she really an expert? No. It's whatever we say it is, Winston. The Methodist Church South seceded from the Northern Church on the slavery issue nearly a century ago. It was pointed out in debate that the passage of this resolution would forever end all possibility of reunion with the two American branches of Methodism. Oh, another division. Dr. Tittle went out of his way to solicit support for Jourdain, a colored candidate for alderman, but not for Tittle's ward. He signed a letter sent out for this purpose during the 1932 spring campaign, and Jourdain was elected. We know that Jourdain is a Jew, too. Remember the cook Jourdain that hated white people? Anthony Jourdain, and he died just last year or something. The time was when Methodism, in its zeal for personal purity, frowned upon dancing. Some Methodists nowadays who are little opposed to dancing, even in a church, were a bit surprised. However, when several colored men were introduced into circle dances and at a dance given in the parish house of Tittle's church, and were thus forced upon the young girls as partners, an M.E. Guild member whose daughter attended this dance reported that when she phoned the assistant pastor about this, he said that these colored men had been invited by Dr. Tittle himself. Oh, Dr. Tittle. Oh, Dr. Tittle. Tittleation, get it? One of them being the son of a classmate at his college, these Negroes, who felt that it was now time that the young people learned to mingle with other races. Sounds like this is coming right from the father, right? God separated the races, but communism insists upon racial intermixture and intermarriage. But what do we know about communism? It's anti-God. It's anti-Yahweh. It's opposed to religion. The two can't be together. The great American colored man, Booker T. Washington, voiced the sentiment of the best elements in both races when he said the races should be as separate and distinct as the fingers of a hand and as united for the service of all humanity. Are you getting is it starting to make sense now? This was said by a human, a colored man. And all the white race should join together in its own destruction by serving the human. He said that we should be united for the service of all humanity. See, this is word trickery, ladies and gentlemen. We've been told that, humanity is all everybody. Like I said, there's only one race, the human race. That's a lie. Another of the many lies of the world. But I think that this is this year's big revelation. So if you're out there and you're helping the cause of humanity, maybe you want to rethink that. Because what it is you're applying destruction upon you and your own race. Or our race. He also says neither the races. Oh, he says, why should either race wish to lose its distinctive characteristics? Neither the races nor the sexes can ever be equal. They will always be different and have distinctive functions to perform in life. I guess he didn't say that. Most shocking is the constant procession of red and outright communist posters and notices which disgrace the bulletin board of this gorgeous Methodist church. Coupled with the fact that the minister himself is a book editor of the National Religion and Labor Foundation and responsible for distribution of such communist literature as Toward Soviet America by William Z. Foster, Little Lenin Library, etc. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that about wraps it up. We're on page 37. I must tell you that we're getting answers, aren't we? We certainly are. Are you on board? Would you like to stand for the human race? I always give a good piece of advice at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, and that is this. Don't go down the human hole.
They bring disgrace. A man without a face. The sands of time, they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. Lines that they told erased. A man without a face.